Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, April 21st, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It's good to be here. It goes well. Thank you for asking.
You know, I love that you serenade me. It's
no doubt.
It's a wonderful thing. Jeff Butts, how are you?
I'm feeling a little bit awkward right now.
That's all right. Here, you hold the camera.
I don't want to come between you and Brian.
No, we are all friends here. And I'm glad that both of you are okay. Here.
Glad to be here too.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you here. On a side note, I'm not sure if listeners know where the theme music for this show came from. And that's all Brian Chaffin. So just had to point that out. Thank you for writing the
theme loops. Music. They're loops. I didn't play the instruments or anything.
The point is, you have the ear to be able to pick the right loops and put them together in the right way to make intro and outro themes that I am totally fine listening to every single weekday for, what are we up to? Over 760 episodes now. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing the show. Giddy up.
Giddy up. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor's Blue Apron, and we'll be talking about them in a bit, which is good because I'm already thinking about what I want to have for dinner tonight. But first, we need to talk about laser eyes. And specifically what we're talking about is this leaked report. And by leaked, it was totally accidental this contractor that's working for Apple probably was working for Apple at this point. What they did is they accidentally sent out as an email. It's like a safety and health report that tracked all of the different types of safety issues that occurred over like the quarter. And in this report that, of course, promptly found its way out onto the internet, one of the things that it lists is a couple of eye injuries. And why that's so interesting from a news standpoint is that there are a couple employees that both reported that they had some sort of eye injury. These injuries were caused by lasers. So what makes that part interesting is that these lasers apparently were fixed in some way or aimed in some way so that they could actually shine into a person's eye or very near their eye.
On purpose.
And so that takes us down the path of this may very well be part of Apple's prototype testing for a head-worn augmented reality device. So that's a fancy way of saying Apple may have figured out how to do Google Glass better than Google Glass was. But since it's still in
or Oculus.
If it's Oculus, I don't think it would be lasers that they would be using. But still, we haven't seen any of this, so sure, that's absolutely a possibility because Apple clearly thinks outside the box with a lot of the products they make. But still, we have these eye injuries that occurred with some sort of prototype device, and it sure sounds like it was something that was mounted or attached to their head in some fashion, which takes us down the AR and potentially VR path. And I'm curious, do you guys think that I am misinterpreting this?
Nope.
Yes.
All right. Why? How am I misinterpreting this?
I think, and I'll preface this with saying that I'm being totally sarcastic. I think that Apple is working with Dr. Evil, and they just got the lasers facing the wrong direction.
Those poor sharks.
It's hard to imagine how Apple is going to be shining lasers in their eyes on purpose for some kind of benefit. It does seem like it could be a malfunction. instead of being done on purpose. But
that, I think you're right, Brian. I think we're looking at malfunctions, because I can't imagine a scenario where Apple would actually want to send laser beams into our eyes.
Now, and I certainly hope the employees are okay or able to be fixed.
But, do we know? The reports are vague on a lot of things, but it sounds like the injuries were probably minor, because the employees were able after the fact to say something to the effect of, hey, I think there might be something wrong with the equipment. This is what I just experienced. You know, so not like, like, oh my God, my eyes burned out, but more like I experienced some form of discomfort, and I'm pretty sure at certain points I was able to see the laser, which fits with your idea that it's not pointing into their eyes.
I wonder if information's being projected. By information, I mean some sort of display is being projected onto the glass.
A reflective surface, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm with you.
Yeah, I had a thought, and it sort of chased off into nowhere land.
What it sounds to me like you're trying to get at, Brian, is that it's projecting data onto a reflective surface with the idea of displaying it, but things aren't aligned quite right, so it's actually reflecting it back into the eye.
Well, that's not specifically where I was going, but that is certainly a reasonable place to go.
I'll add to that another possibility, that whatever casing they have around the laser itself is not adequate or does not sit flush or tight, and so it's allowing some of the laser light to leak out the sides, and that's what's getting into people's eyes.
Interesting. Well, I mean, we know that Apple has a large team working on AR, particularly AR rather than VR, although I would assume that Apple has some kind of team working on VR too. I can't wait to see what Apple does in this space.
Yeah,
I'm not really saying anything concrete there, but this is so tantalizing because it tells us something without telling us anything.
Yeah, it sounds like something really cool.
All right, so here's my hypothesis on where Apple's going with its AR hardware. I think that they're going to introduce AR as something that we do with our iPhone. So the example that's been popping up a lot is Pokemon Go. That's a great example of rudimentary augmented reality, because you hold your phone up and then it puts the Pokemon character into whatever's in the camera view, and then you see that on your iPhone display as if that character was in front of you. And so my guess is that Apple and Facebook are heading down that same path with something that is a little more rudimentary at first. And I think Apple is working on glasses to go along with that as an accessory. So instead of requiring you to buy glasses that link to your phone for an AR experience, you can do the AR thing with just your phone, but you can enhance that if you buy glasses, and now it becomes a hands-free thing.
Yeah.
So accessory, not required equipment. And
cool. Okay, I could buy into that.
All right. So
now, did we say what AR is?
Augmented reality.
Yep.
And okay, if you're playing Pokemon Go, you're already experiencing augmented reality. The idea of augmented reality is you take what you're seeing in the real world, and then you overlay something else on top of it. So that could be information of some sort. You know, like, let's say you needed directions to Starbucks. like anyone would need that. All you need to do is walk a block and there's Starbucks. But in a world where there are fewer Starbucks, you could then have directions, walking directions given to you. And instead of pulling your phone out to look and see where you're supposed to turn, that would be overlaid on what you're actually seeing. So you'd have an arrow telling you, here's the block where you turn left.
Yep.
And then, of course, for gaming, we're seeing it in Pokemon Go. And so you can overlay all different kinds of things on top of what you're already seeing. That's the idea of augmented reality in a very simple description.
Other examples of augmented reality actually include something like Snapchat, which people probably don't think of Snapchat filters as augmented reality, but
oh yeah,
we need to add clips into that as well. You're absolutely right, Brian.
Clips, yes. Facebook stories.
You know, the thing about Apple doing AR is Tim Cook saying that he doesn't think the face is the place for wearable computing.
Yeah, so that's.
But he said that about 4 years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah. So does that
mean?
Go ahead.
Tim Cook doesn't do what Steve did, which is to tell us he's not doing something right before he does it. Tim Cook approaches. I call it Cook Code. Approaches things in a much more oblique fashion. Sorry about the noise. And usually, when he says that, I mean, him saying something like, "We don't believe that the face is the place for wearable computing," and that's only a paraphrase. That usually means that Apple's not going to do that yet. It really seems like Apple is doing that.
Yeah.
So change his mind? Was he actually misdirecting like Steve did after all? You know, do we just not have a full data set on whether or not he's willing to misdirect?
Yeah, my guess is that you just hit on something that's a big part of this, which is missing data set. And of course, Apple's so secretive about what they do that maybe he was pulling a Jobs on us and misdirecting. Or maybe at the time he was saying what he really felt, which was the face is not the place for this, but something has changed. And now Apple is looking at this as something they need to pursue, which could be they decided actually it is the right place, or maybe they decided that there really isn't any other place regardless of what they think is good.
Or the third option they're looking at what everybody else is doing and saying, oh my gosh, that's so hokey. We're going to do it right.
I mean, the reality is if you're going to have persistent augmented reality, it's got to go in the face. It's got to go in the face, or it's got to go in your brain and project directly into your corneal stuff. Mason knows about that.
Your corneal stuff.
But we don't yet.
And Brian, you're right. For augmented reality to become something that's more than an occasional thing and more than essentially a gimmick, it needs to be something that's pervasive and ubiquitous. And if it requires holding your phone out all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna want to do that.
No, I mean, holding your phone in front of you to get some brief information is one thing, but if you want it to be persistent, stuff's got to sit on your face, and it's got to essentially be something along the lines of Google Glass. Mm-hmm. A product that I was furious about because they're filming everything and sending it to the servers, and it's putting all of it. And I assume that Apple will not be doing that with whatever kind of AR it's doing.
I would assume you're correct, because that's not Apple's style for the way they handle our information.
Yeah, it runs completely contrary to everything that Apple says about privacy and the importance of privacy and user data. So, but we can't get away from the fact that persistent AR. And we don't. Maybe Apple's not doing persistent AR. But if Apple is doing a persistent AR, it's got to be in the form of some kind of goggle/glasses kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So my guess is that Apple has decided that they've taken your train of thought, Brian, and they're working on a way to make glasses that people would actually want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see how that plays out, because I'm someone that has to wear glasses all the time anyhow. So is this something that I would want where just my regular glasses I'm wearing every single day, or also Apple augmented reality glasses?
Just get it over with and say that Apple's never going to do it so that we can know it's going to happen.
Would that make things easier for you? Because I'm more than happy to. Does it still apply if I'm not sincere?
Oh, goodness. Are you saying that you think Apple's going, man, I wanted this to happen.
Okay. Apple is so not going to make augmented reality glasses. Never going to happen. I can't believe it. Fakety fake, 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 fake. How's that?
Excellent. There we go.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Blue Apron. And I'm happy that they are sponsoring us because, well, it turns out I enjoy having dinner. And they make that a much more fun experience, which is not to say that I never have a fun experience with dinner. But, you know, it's like you can have a really good time, but then sometimes you go to the amusement park and you have a different good time. And that's kind of what Blue Apron is like, sort of like an amusement park in my mouth. And well, it's been great having them as a sponsor. Anyhow, what they do is they go out and they find, or they come up with these really interesting recipes. And then they go and find everything that they need to make that recipe, but they get the highest quality stuff that they can. So the best produce they can find, the beef, the chicken, the pork, that all comes from responsibly raised animals. They have this deal with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch to make sure that all of the seafood that they get is sourced sustainably, which I think is great, because I'm getting this really good food, but I'm also getting really good food that I know is being put together for me in such a way that it's having as little negative impact on the environment as possible. And that, you know, that's really nice. And then when you open the box and see all these ingredients that they've sent you, it's at first I did a double take because it all looked so perfect that I thought maybe I had been sent a, like fake stuff so that I could see what it would be like if I was really eating it, which would be weird because I was supposed to really eat it. And it turns out that, no, the stuff is just that good. And every meal that I've made has been great. And I've had a lot of fun doing this. I've had my girlfriend over and done these dinners together. And in that sense, I might actually be in trouble because the bar has been raised. And now every meal I prepare, she expects to be much better than what I was doing before. But that's okay, because Blue Apron lets you keep they send you these recipe cards that also have all the instructions for how you make the food. So I can remake things that we both enjoyed just by taking this card to the store with me, making sure I buy all the right produce and meat, and then come home and I can just follow step by step and make it again. Mm-hmm. So I just love that there's all this wonderful variety in the things that they send out. I love that I've never been disappointed, and I love that I'm collecting this new group of recipes to come back to again and again. And I'd love for everyone to be able to experience that. And yesterday I told everyone, go try the Parmesan crust chicken with creamy fettuccine and let me know what you think, since I can't have it. So please do that. And the one that I'm looking forward to trying myself is a sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. So head over to the Blue Apron website, blueapron.com/TDO. And when you go to that URL, blueapron.com/TDO, then Blue Apron knows that you found them by being a TDO Daily Observations listener, and you also get the first three meals on your order for free, plus you get free shipping, and each of those meals is going to cost you less than $10 per person. So it's a pretty affordable way to get food that's at least as good as what you're going to get in a restaurant, and it's all fresh, and you get to make it yourself or with someone special. And you need to try this out. BlueApron.com/TDO. Get those first three meals for free. Let's get your free shipping. And thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. Okay, so we're kind of out of time, but we need to talk a little bit longer because there's this puny attack malware sort of thing that's happening. And Jeff, you were looking into this. What exactly is this?
Yeah, it's not puny at all. It's puny code. And what it is, well, okay, so your domain names, the names that you use instead of using a string of numbers to get to a website, are rendered in what is called ASCII. Which is the American, it's an American thing, and it's based on the American alphabet, and it's fairly limited. It doesn't allow for the special characters that the German language uses, Spanish, French, let alone languages that have their own alphabet, like Cyrillic or Arabic or Hebrew.
Right. So ASCII is a way of numerically identifying individual characters in an alphabet.
Right, because the computer doesn't know A from Adam. It knows a number. It knows a binary number, and ASCII converts that into a decimal number, which we can more easily access.
Okay, so how does that play into this puny? I guess I should call it more of a phishing attack as opposed.
To malware, because it other languages like the Russian language, German, their computers use Unicode, which is more expansive and allows for those extra characters. Mm-hmm. Okay, puny code is a way of converting Unicode into ASCII.
Okay,
so that you can type it into your browser. And what a researcher has done is he took letters from the Cyrillic alphabet that looked like the letters in the word apple.com and converted those into puny code and then created or registered that domain. So if you go to the puny code version of apple.com or the Cyrillic apple.com, in some browsers right now, Firefox is one, older versions of Chrome, Safari is not one, but they will trick you into thinking that you've gone to apple.com because unless you look really closely at the address bar and notice that the letters are just ever so slightly different, it looks like apple.com.
Okay. And since it's a completely unique website, they can set up their own HTTPS so that it even looks like it's Apple's secure site.
Absolutely.
And now they can use that to trick you into giving up your Apple ID credentials, credit card numbers, all kinds of stuff.
If he wanted to, he certainly could have.
Right. But luckily,
fortunately, this guy is one of the good guys.
All right. So now you said that Safari is not susceptible to this?
Safari is not susceptible to it. Chrome 58, which is the latest version of Chrome, came out March 24th, but it's still rolling out to users, is also free of it.
Okay. So Firefox is lagging behind. They need to get an update out that fixes this.
They're not going to.
Oh. Well, isn't that just a bucket of awesome?
They say it's the domain owner's responsibility to go out and register every puny code domain that might possibly look like their domain name.
Gee-man-hitly. Okay. So here's what I'm getting out of this. There's a way that you can use puny code to trick people into thinking that they're loading one website when it's actually something else. And then they can do nefarious things if they want to. But yep. if you're running Safari, it will let you know this is not actually the site you think it is. And now Chrome can do that too.
Right.
Firefox does not. So maybe avoid Firefox if you're concerned that this is something that's going to be used against you in some way.
Yep.
And
the other solution is anytime you're going to enter your username and password into a site, mm-hmm. use a password manager. Don't just type it in by hand, because the password manager is going to recognize, hey, this isn't where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, that's great advice. Okay. So if you're using 1Password or LastPass, something like that,
yep.
it will know that this is not the website that you think it is.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. All right, another great reason to use a password manager.
Absolutely. On your Mac.
Yep. Okay. And so I'm assuming the other takeaway is when you're going to websites, just really pay attention to what you see in that address bar at the top of your web browser, just to mm-hmm. make sure no one is trying to take advantage of you.
Yeah. I mean, folks like John Kite have even gone so far as to say that they don't click on links. They look at the link and type it in themselves.
Oh, that's clever. Unless it's like a crazy long thing, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see where typing a URL. You mean
like crazy long, like any article on any site?
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, yeah,
that'd be a nightmare.
You know, that's John. He's a stubborn guy, and I could see him actually typing out a crazy long URL and complaining about what a horrible world it is the whole time because he has to do that. But he'll be doing it with love. I really love John. He's awesome. All right. Well, thank you for looking into that and helping make this whole puny URL spoofing thing much easier for me to understand. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And I let us run over because that was so important to talk about, but we are out of time. So, Jeff, thank you for being here today.
Thanks.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. And Blue Apron, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO, and to get the first three meals off your order for free, plus free shipping. I'm really enjoying the Blue Apron meals that I'm getting, and I would love for you guys to be able to get in on that too. So blueapron.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for being here, and we'll see everyone again on Monday.